0-1.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that.
I'm Seth Peterson.
I am Debbie Hedren.
I'm Rhonda Schwartz.
I'm Josh Roberts.
This is Jesslyn Gilson.
Hello, I'm Victor Webb.
Hi, this is Charlotte Ross.
Hi, this is Ed Begley Jr.
What's up, you guys? This is AJ from the Backstreet Boys.
Hi, this is Shannon Elizabeth, and you're listening to Talkin' Pets.
Talkin' Pets.
Talkin' Pets.
And you're listening to Talkin' Pets.
Talkin' Pets.
Talkin' Pets.
With John Patch.
John Patch.
You're listening to Talkin' Pets with John Patch.
Hello, America, and welcome to Talkin' Pets with your host, John Patch. Join John and his expert guests with all of your pet questions, concerns, comments, and stories. Now it's time for Talkin' Pets with your host, John Patch.
And welcome to Talkin' Pets, heard coast to coast on your favorite radio station. This is Talkin' Pets, and I'm John Patch. Joining us is...
Lee from Audubon in Tampa.
Here to answer your medical questions and your behavior questions about your pets at 818-818-6401. When you call into that number, you'll speak with Sydney at CRN, and she'll put you on the air with us. That's 818-818-6401. The show is produced here at the farm by...
Lexi Adams.
Thank you, Lexi. And brought to you by none other than Vitacraft. There is no better way to bond with your cats, and I can tell you that firsthand because I have three of them, and they're all rescues. And they love Lick and Lap by Vitacraft. You can find it at vitacraft.us, you can find it at walmart.com, or you can find it in your stores. Don't forget, also, Good Pets Foods for your dog, supplements and treats, giving your dog a healthier life. Enter the promo code PETS in the promo box and get 10% off at goodpetsfoods.com. I am thrilled and honored to have SCOE 10X back to the show. It is the only odor eliminator that you will find, and take it from me, it's the truth, that actually takes out the odors. And you could get the starter kit. Go to their website. You can only buy it on their website, SCOE10X.com, S-C-O-E, number 10X.com. This is Talkin' Pets.
Marked by ash, she believes what doesn't kill her only takes more time to kill her. Then she smiles as she paints her lips and does her lashes, stunning as a taxidermy victim in a silver cage. An area brought from the country, stuck in dumb amazement like a dog who's told to levitate. This smash number one goes to her lover in the belfry, singing like a bird in flames and headed for the window pane. In the coming years, let's try and milk a fortune off them. I think we're qualified by now.
John grew up on the South Shore of Massachusetts. He is the author of the book, The Omnivore's Deception. He received his BA from Hampshire College and his PhD from the History of Consciousness Department at the University of California in Santa Cruz. He is currently professor of philosophy at the Worcester Polytechnic Institute, where he teaches ethics, existentialism, philosophy of technology, critical theory, animal studies, and other subjects. He is the author of the book, as I stated, The Omnivore's Deception, What We Get Wrong About Meat, Animals, and Ourselves, and of the postmodern prints, Critical Theory, Left Strategy, and the Making of a New Political Subject. He is also editor of the anthology Critical Theory and Animal Liberation. When not teaching or writing, John can be found performing as a semi-professional magician by the stage name of Magician Mealies. His other hobbies including fencing, tennis, chess, and being a contrarian. Once again, I want to welcome onto the program right now the author of the omnivore's deception, what we get wrong about meat, animals, and ourselves. John, I'm going to let you, for the first time, say your last name for me so I can get an idea.
Thanks so much. It's pronounced Sanbonmatsu, which is actually how it's spelled, Sanbonmatsu. It took me to third grade to learn how to spell that name, Sanbonmatsu.
You know, it's funny because I think I was close on that, and I was going to say it, I didn't want to butcher it. So it's Sanbonmatsu, the way it looks, basically.
Totally the way it looks, yes.
Well, it's great to have you on the show here, Talking Pets, and I want to introduce you in the studio. Here is Lee and also our producer,
Hello.
Lexi.
Hello.
Hello, nice to meet you.
You too.
And then, of course, everybody listening across America, we will be giving away a couple of books, everybody. So if you want to get a copy of the book, stay tuned for that. Remember the number, 818-818-6401. But I've got to ask you, The Omnivore's Deception, John, how long did it take you to put this book together?
Well, I'll tell you. When I set out to write this book, having studied our relationship with animals for a long time, I thought I would dash it off in 2 or 3 months. In fact, it took me at least 12 years, maybe 12 to 15 years. So this is a book, it's not my first book, but it's a book that I've poured myself into in a certain sense, and it's a culmination of maybe 30 or 40 years of reflection, writing, lecturing on animal ethics, and thinking about our really troubling relationship with other natural beings.
Well, I got to tell you, one of my favorite books out there, and I've been on the air for 35 years and working with animals and all, and one of my favorite books on my shelf is Jeffrey Mason, When Elephants Weep. I love that book.
Yeah.
That was actually the first book that I read cover to cover. So I have to say that, too. It's a great book, and Jeffrey's a good friend.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. That's terrific. Yeah, Jeff and I have recently become friends, and he's amazing, and I do encourage other people to take a look at his writings.
But this book, actually, and it's a hardcover, it's a beautiful book. I think it's interesting. I have to ask you, was that your idea for the cover picture, or was that from the publisher?
So the cover has a knife on the front, and I'll tell you, we could spend an hour talking about that cover because, you know, when authors get sample covers from their publishers, it's often the case that there's some wrangling about it. And I'll tell you, I showed that cover to my friends, and they all hated it. But in retrospect, we fought on this a bit for weeks, and I think it's actually a very powerful cover. Because that knife on the cover really, for one thing, it symbolizes what I'm trying to do in this book, which is to cut through all the BS and the myths we tell ourselves about exploiting and killing animals. And so it is a striking cover, and especially in this crowded marketplace, I think it kind of leaps out because the knife, if you can picture it in the audience there, is against a very bright red background. So. I think it's a powerful image.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
We're holding it up to the camera if you're watching us on Facebook Live at Talkin' Pets Radio, where you can listen as well. But you could see the book. Lee, you want to hold yours up there?
Sure.
It'll go. And then, actually, I have to admit, when I saw this book in my hand when I got it, I was like, wow, that is an interesting cover.
Yeah.
And it made
blood red.
It makes you look. I mean, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, it's provocative.
Very much.
Well, it's interesting that you should say it makes you look because, in fact, you know, when I think about it, my book is asking us to look at some really hard truths that we don't want to. So that's another way in which that cover sort of works. And it is indeed, my argument is meant to provoke, you know, reflection, outrage, despair, frankly, at the state of things, but also provoke hope, perhaps, by the end.
Well, I've got many questions for you. I believe Lee does. And
yes.
I know Lexi's going to chime in as well, but we've got to go out to a little break. So when we come back, we're going to continue on with John Sanbonmatsu.
Very good, John. I'm impressed.
I just got to look at it and go, Sanbonmatsu. It'll stick.
Perfect.
I can't goof off the first name. It's the same as mine. So, So anyway, yeah. We'll be right back with John. And once again, I'm John Patch.
And I'm Lee Tomborowski.
I'm Lexi Adams.
And if you want to give us a call and you have a question on what we're talking about, the number is 818-818-6401. 818-818-6401. When you call into that number, you'll speak with Sydney, and she will put you on with us. Right now, I will give one book away over the break. So if you want to call 818-818-6401, you're welcome to get a copy. Compliments from John Sanbonmatsu, the author of The Omnivore's Deception. So give us a call, 818-818-6401. This is Talkin' Pets.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Hi, friends. This is John Patch. As host of Talkin' Pets, I get asked all the time if I know of a pet odor eliminator product that actually does work. The answer to that is yes. It's called SCOE 10X. And that's SCOE 10X. The best odor eliminator product made. And you know why? Because SCOE 10X actually eliminates bad pet odor like urine, feces, vomit, even skunk odor is eliminated. And it's a 100% money-back guarantee. SCOE 10X doesn't mask or cover odor with heavy fragrances. SCOE 10X is fragrance-free. SCOE 10X is completely non-toxic and hypoallergenic. It is so safe you can use it directly on your pet, your own skin, or plants. Read hundreds and hundreds of actual customer success stories at SCOE10X.com. And since SCOE10X can only be purchased at SCOE10X.com, once you're done reading all those great reviews, get your own bottle of SCOE 10X today. Take it from me, John Patch. Use SCOE 10X, a pet odor eliminator product that actually works.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-514-9170. 800-514-9170. 800-514-9170. That's 800-514-9170.
Tired of diets that don't work? Ready for a change that really fits your life? Introducing our proven weight loss treatment designed by experts to help you shed pounds safely and keep them off for good. No gimmicks, no crash diets, just real results. Right now, Diet Slim Shot is offering an exclusive deal. Get 50% off your first month when you sign up today. Plus, enjoy a free consultation and a personalized plan tailored to your goals. Imagine feeling lighter, healthier, and more confident without the stress of fad diets. Don't wait. Spots are limited, and this offer won't last. Call now, 626-506-2033, or visit DietSlimShot.com. Start your journey to a better you. You deserve this. Take the first step today. Call now, 626-506-2033. 2033 or go to DietSlimShot.com. That's DietSlimShot.com.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad. But don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
And once again, you're listening to Talkin' Pets. We're speaking with the author of The Omnivore's Deception, What We Get Wrong About Meat, Animals, and Ourselves by John Sanbon Matsu. That's the name of the author. He's joining us right now. If you have comments or questions, we welcome them in. So I want to ask you, John, humans, us, we've been eating meat for a very long time. And during the times of dinosaurs, basically, where did we start eating meat? Do you have any idea when we went back that humans became carnivores, basically?
Well, thank you. Just to clarify, dinosaurs went extinct about 65 million years ago. Hominids emerged about 2 million years ago. And Homo sapiens, our species, has only been around for 200, 300,000 years. If you trace our lineage back, we began our existence as a small tree-dwelling mammal. The dinosaurs, of course, their extinction made room for the evolution of mammals, and we're a mammal. And so from the beginning, probably biologically, we were omnivores. I don't think that we were originally herbivores, you know, we eat only plant matter. So it's absolutely true that humans have been killing and eating other animals almost from the start. But one of the things I argue in my book is that, first of all, there's nothing natural about eating animals today. I mean, it's a cultural practice that we can continue or discontinue. It's something that's up to us. And the second point is that even if it were natural, it wouldn't necessarily make it right, right? There are many things that are natural, including cancer and bubonic plague. Actually, someone just came down with plague in California, I think, kind of a scary thought. So the natural isn't necessarily good. And furthermore, there are many kinds of things that humans have been doing for a long time. And just because something's been around for a long time does not mean that we should continue the practice. I mean, like slavery lasted about 6,000 years, 5,000-6,000 years. And we just decided that there are better ways of living on this earth. And so I argue in my book that there are better ways to be human than to continue enslaving and killing and brutalizing billions of our fellow sensitive creatures.
So I got to tell you, also on the health side that you were talking about as well, I mean, Bobby, my producer, he used to be one of my producers when we were at Universal Studios and beyond that as well. But he weighed probably about 330 pounds. And he was a big guy. And the biggest meat eater you'd ever want to meet. And then all of a sudden, because of health reasons, he decided to stop eating meat. He started to run, started to exercise. He's 5'8", 150 pounds now, and off of all his medicines.
Yeah.
Completely
vegan.
Yep, 100% vegan.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, look, like, my book is not an argument for why we should stop killing and eating animals for our own sakes. You know, it's really about why it's wrong and, in fact, radical evil, I think, what we're doing to other beings. But what's odd is that we have every incentive to do this just out of our own interest, because I think that's a good example, the one you've just given, because though it's anecdotal, it's backed up by tons of science. Vegans have lower rates of cancer, heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes. There's an article in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, just a few years ago, suggesting that vegans live longer than quote-unquote omnivores. And an omnivore, by the way, is biologically, that means that we can consume or metabolize just about anything, right? Plant matter, animal matter, and human matter. I mean, Cannibalism has been part of many different human cultures for thousands of years. That's not an excuse for me to kill any of my neighbors simply because
no.
I can.
Otherwise, I'd be feasting on Lexi right now.
No comment.
I have more meat on me than she does.
Yeah.
She's okay. Tender. She's
I don't
wanna, younger.
Like, I'm not gonna go there. Okay. The point is that, people think that being a vegan is some trendy thing or a hard thing. First of all, there have been ethical vegetarians for 3,000 years, and even vegans in Buddhists in Japan for maybe thousands. Vegan cuisine was developed in the Buddhist temples there. So this is something that it's still, of course, quite controversial, and people get their backs up when they hear any talk about the meat economy or the food system. But this system is not only bad for our own health, it's destroying the conditions of life. It's literally undermining the conditions of our planet's ecology, our ability to sustain life. And one reason that this is going on and people don't realize it is because it's hidden from view, even though the system itself is so massive, it kind of is indescribable. We're killing about 80 billion land animals every year, birds and mammals, who, by the way, are just as sensitive and intelligent and cognitively sophisticated as our own cats and dogs. And we're killing up to 2.7 trillion marine animals every single year. So although people like to think that humans are at the top of the food chain, that is a completely wrong metaphor. Think of humans rather as tearing up the food web. We're destroying – this system is literally – it's ruining the planet, the land. It's making the land unproductive. It's taking up huge swaths of the planet's surface, and it's leading to the emptying of life in the oceans. So there's a better way to live a human life, I argue.
I agree.
Yeah. So I have a question, John. What would be an excellent protein source for somebody who would not consider eating meat anymore?
Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, there was this interesting article in the New York Times last year, maybe the year before. It was about protein. There's this kind of bizarre fixation in American culture on protein. First of all, Americans get too much protein. Like all the studies suggest we're getting more than we need, just as it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
secondly,
why everybody's fat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of overweight people.
Or processed foods.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this Times article is interesting to me because it showed, it gave like a quiz to the reader, like how much protein is in, say, two pieces of whole wheat bread versus two pieces of bacon versus, a cup of lentils, half a cup of lentils, and so forth. And turns out, for example, that two pieces of whole wheat bread has more protein in it than two slices of bacon. And as goes through these things. So there's protein in a lot of things. You don't need to tofu is a great protein source, but there's a kind of stereotype that vegans only eat tofu. It's simply not true. If you like pasta with marinara sauce, there's a ton of protein in that, right? If you like enchiladas, people think that to be a vegan, you have to have like a bowl of rice and tofu, like three meals a day or something. But I eat, if you look at my own diet, it's like I eat a lot of junk, I'm sorry to say, chocolate and chips like everybody else and french fries, but
don't get me going on that. Hey, John,
hold on
for a second. We got to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to continue on with more from John. He is the author of the book, The Omnivore's Deception. We're giving away a copy right now, 818-818-6401.
Are you nearly maxed out on your credit cards? It doesn't matter if you're using your credit cards for fun or to survive. At the end of the month, your statements come in, and you can either pay them or you can't. If you can't, late fees and interest rates get tacked on. And now, you're struggling just to make the minimum payment due. Do you feel trapped? Am I talking to you? Good, because I personally researched some companies that can help you. They may be able to reduce your credit card balances by 50% and stop the late fees. If you qualify, please call our special debt hotline number right now for a complimentary, free 5-minute consultation. Deal with your credit card problem now before it gets much worse and put more money back in your pocket. Trust me, I've been there too. Call right now.
800-475-7125. 800-475-7125. That's 800-475-7125.
Hi, everyone. Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis here from Legal Help Center. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up, because we have legal professionals standing by right now to answer your questions for free. You can find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. The call is free. The consultation is free. And you can speak with a live agent right now. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident of any kind, call now to find out if you have a case and how much you could potentially get.
Thanks, Vernon. You heard it, folks. If you've been injured, call and find out how much you qualify for. Call 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. 800-745-9090. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
In the age of politics of man versus man, enters an important issue of man versus the environment. Look around at the tree there yesterday, but now what remains is a leaf blowing across a crowded parking lot. Some say environment is not an issue, that the welfare of mankind, jobs, money, and material wealth exceed all that serves true purpose. Well, the future of today's children, your children, and grandchildren relies on how we perceive our present goals. Life, as long as there is life, is but a cycle, and every organism, plant, animal, and human being needs a certain piece of this complex structure to survive. If we take away a small part of our ecosystem, we diminish the life of its structure. As years go on, our wilderness is decreasing. Through man's greed and mismanagement, we are destroying our future. To many, a bird is just something that flies with feathers. But for example, the spotted owl may be just that, learned only through the pages of history books. If we continue to destroy a small bird because of a short-term economic gain, we may as well consider no future for our own offspring. Our plants, our animals, our air, each serve a particular purpose. But through our ignorance, eroded soils, endangered species of all animal life, poisoned water, and foul air will be our gift to the child you have nurtured and loved for so many years. A forest may take days to timber, but think how many years it took to be created into a home for the wild and their offspring. If man can fly to the moon, surely we can discover new ways to continue a life balanced with the environment. If we can create a job by cutting a tree down, we can also create one by planting a tree as well. Make the future worth living for our children. Let them have some of the benefits you have now. Let them know, see, and understand what wild, in its natural environment, truly means. And once again, you're listening to Talkin' Pets, and we want to talk with you. The lines are open at 818-818-6401. We're speaking with the author of The Omnivore's Deception, and it's John Sanbonmatsu. He is the author of the book. We're speaking with him right now. So give us a call, 818-818-6401. That is the number to call. I wanted to ask you, so, John, what is it with humans? How as humans do we decipher on treating animals for meat? I mean, if you invited people that eat meat, and I eat meat, but if you, and I don't eat it like I used to, I've cut back on it tremendously. But basically, the thing is that if you invite them into a slaughterhouse, they might think differently. Or if right now, say, Betty is sitting on her couch right now next to her cat and listening to the show, or, you know, Jeffrey's out there listening on his headphones or whatever, walking his dog. And if they look at these animals and go, well, I eat a cow, I eat a pig, I eat a chicken, should I eat my cat? Should I eat my dog? I mean, you know what I mean? In India, cows are sacred. In Peru, guinea pigs are eaten as a delicacy.
I saw that.
Where do we get these? What we see or what we're taught, that we're supposed to be eating animals? Or is it an industry that is bent on making money? And another one, this is a lot for you to think about. Another one would be, what industry would you say cattle farmers or pig farmers or whatever need to go into that they don't lose their farming, because we need our farmers?
Well, there's a whole host of questions in there.
Yes, there is.
Yes.
You know, and I appreciate it. I thought I might read a paragraph from my book on this question as an intro, if I may.
Yes.
What do you think? It'll take just
Please.
A minute. Because we treat animals in such a contradictory way, and we don't even notice it, right? So it's a perfect segue to this discussion, because you say you eat meat, but you wouldn't eat your own cat or your own dog. So as an ethicist, my question is, what's the difference, right? So let me read this. The contradiction between these two ways of living a human life, one lived in communion and love with animals, the other in violent contempt of their very lives, runs like an unmapped seismic fault beneath society, tracing the boundary of two irreconcilable value structures and modes of life. One might think that such blatantly contradictory attitudes and behaviors would provoke public debate or personal soul-searching, but the opposite is true. Since everything is permitted in our treatment of other beings, every kindness and every barbaric horror, our behavior towards animals is seen to be a matter of aesthetics or personal taste, not ethics. The case for respecting animals' lives and caring for animals is held to be no stronger than the case for subjecting them to trauma and death, and society makes no attempt to reconcile the two. Like waves of equal amplitude traveling in opposite phases, our contradictory attitudes and behaviors towards animals are thought to cancel each other out. What is peculiar about this way of thinking about animals is that in no other domain of moral life would we accept such obvious contradictions in our values and behavior. No one would say that child abuse is, quote, the same thing, unquote, as good parenting, or that throwing an elderly person down a flight of stairs is, quote, neither better nor worse than helping them across the street. Yet, vis-a-vis other animals, one set of practices is held to be as good as another. So to me, this is the thing. I mean, if for folks who eat meat and haven't really thought deeply about these issues, just you might try a thought experiment. Imagine that the cows and chickens and pigs and goats and rabbits and ducks and all these animals that we eat, imagine for just a moment, just a thought experiment, that they had as much going on inside them as our own cats and dogs, that they were just as emotionally complex, cognitively aware, as capable of suffering as our own cats and dogs. And here's the kicker. They are.
They are.
Yeah,
they are.
100%.
It's been shown scientifically. So if billions and billions of cats and dogs are being tortured to death, brutally killed every year in our country, right? We'd be on red alert. People would be very upset about it. Super. I mean, if someone came into someone's home listening to this and with a cat or a dog, if someone came in and stomped on their cat or dog or cut their throat, you know, or worse, they would be traumatized for the rest of their life. Agreed? Like, they would be, they would have to go to counseling. to witness that act of violence, that extreme violence. We do this routinely to all of these trillions of animals, literally, if you count marine animals, trillions of animals every year. And the funny thing, but it's not funny, is that even to say, I don't want to participate in that, which is all that the vegan says, right? I just don't even want to participate in that. That gets people, it makes them go crazy. They get so threatened. But this book is not just about, you know, I'm not just trying to convince readers to move to a plant-based diet, but to really understand that we have constructed our whole civilization and identity around mass violence, and that compromises us as moral beings, and it's simply not acceptable what we're doing. Now, to your question about farmers, I would point out Renee Sodden down in Texas. She, it's a longer story. I don't have time to go into it, but you can look up Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, Rowdy Girl Animal Sanctuary. And here were cattle ranchers, she and her husband, who one day decided, you know, because they loved these cows that they were raising, they suddenly realized, or Renee did, that they were being sent to slaughter, and why it was like an epiphany, and they turned it into an animal sanctuary. So you can actually go there and get to know these cows as individuals. It's just mind-blowing to people to realize that they are as affectionate and individual and quirky as their dogs say. So it is possible.
I kind of wonder, John, I wanted to interject on there. I kind of wonder if what would happen to the mentality of humans. And again, we're not bashing. I mean, I admit I do eat some meat, and I think Lee does, and yeah. Lexi does. I mean, we still do that. I have, like I said, cut back. So I'm not being a hypocrite here for people that have farms or people that eat meat.
Right.
But the thing is that my views have changed as I've gotten older. I start putting a face more and more and more and more to that meat. And also the feelings. I look at my cats, and I spend a lot of time with my animals. I have chickens in my backyard, and I don't eat them. I eat their eggs, but I don't eat them. But the thing is what would happen to this world if avian flu took over, and it already has infected chickens, it's infected cattle, it's been found in pig, and it's even in our domestic animals they found it, as well as exotic animals. So what would happen if that became a pandemic?
I do write about this. You know, I have an op-ed about this. You can Google that. But, yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, H5N1, the virus that causes avian flu, was discovered over a century ago in Italy. If we have a pandemic, we can blame it squarely on the animal industry, because it was the concentration of this virus in the poultry industry, originally in China and now here and elsewhere, that made it possible for it to spread. And what we're seeing is the world's first what's called a panzootic. It's like a pandemic for multiple species, hundreds of species around the world. So penguins in the Antarctic, manatees off the coast of Florida, dolphins, barn cats in Texas, you know, 100% mortality rate. This thing is spreading like wildfire due to human exploitation of animals. And as you say, if it were to become a pandemic for us, if it leaps the species barrier and becomes transmissible between humans, which it hasn't yet, the WHO estimated some years ago that 150 million people, humans, could die from it. So we have this is another incentive for ending these practices, because we're cultivating new disease vectors every single day in the animal industry. And by the way, the avian flu crisis in animal agriculture in the U.S. led to the killing of millions, tens of millions of birds, including through what are called ventilator shutdowns, where basically the animals are suffocated to death and made to die of heat stroke. It's
horrible.
Absolutely horrific.
Horrible.
You know, but here's the thing, okay? The reason the public was upset about it, it was not because of the suffering of the animals. It was not because they weren't thinking of changing their diets. They were afraid of the high egg price. That's what upset American consumers. So I don't know what it will take to have a kind of gestalt switch where we begin to see other animals not as things, not as slaves, not as commodities, but as someones, as beings who have a dignity and ought to have a right to inviolability, in the same way that we don't typically, you know, in our daily lives, we don't allow cats and dogs to be brutalized, except, of course, in scientific laboratories, which is another problem.
John, hold on to that thought. We'll be right back for a couple more minutes on The Omnivore's Deception, the book by John Sanban Matsu. This is Talkin' Pets.
Malaria continues to be a significant public health issue, especially in Africa. In 2022, the World Health Organization estimated 608,000 malaria-related deaths, with 95% of those being traced back to the African region. Working with the Society of Family Health Rwanda and the Rwanda Ministry of Health, SC Johnson, makers of RAID, are bringing health posts that diagnose, treat, and prevent malaria to the most remote areas of Rwanda. Known as Closer to Care, this initiative has led to 76 health posts in the region and brought healthcare to over 1 million people. Since their introduction, Rwandans' average walk time to receive care reduced from 3 hours to 30 minutes, and Rwanda has seen mortality rates decrease 89%. For more than 60 years, SC Johnson has been demonstrating its leadership in insect science research, and for the last decade has specifically focused on preventing mosquito-borne disease with prevention tools that maximize social impact and help strengthen communities. Support the fight against malaria by sharing Closer to Care's mission and amplifying the importance of healthcare access for those who need it most. Sponsored by SC Johnson, makers of RAID.
Hello, pet lovers. If you're a cat mommy or a cat daddy like I am, you want to check out Vitacraft. They add to its signature snack for cats with Lickin' Lap. It's a smooth jelly and meaty gravy. Both products come in chicken and salmon varieties and also in individual, easy-to-serve tubes sold as a five-pack that allow pet parents to try a new product without a big investment. They work as an in-between meal, treat, or as a delicious training tool. If you're trying to get your cats to do things that you don't think they can do, this will definitely help. Or a saucy food topper if your cats are real finicky about eating their food, especially, of course, the dry food. It's available online, in pet stores, and you can find it in Walmart stores as well. And don't forget to visit their website, vitacraft.us.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills. And hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-824-7094. 800-824-7094. That's 800-824-7094.
Investors, keep listening to learn how to get your free gold report. A currency crisis is upon us. The U.S. dollar has been the world's reserve currency for over 50 years, but that is changing. It's time to protect your retirement. Decades of reckless borrowing and spending have critically weakened the dollar. The U.S. has become the world's biggest debtor, with over $35 trillion in debt. Plus, the dollar's become weaponized. Countries are dumping it. Investors who wait until it's too late could lose big. There is one safe haven, gold. Diversify your portfolio with a physical asset they can't take away. Call the Reagan Gold Group right now and ask for your free gold guide. Here's our number.
800-251-7963. 800-251-7963. 800-251-7963. That's 800-251-7963.
Thanks for calling the Veteran Car Donation Program. How can I help you?
Can you come and pick up my car and give me that tax deduction I've heard all about?
Sure. We can pick it up in about 2 business days or less.
Call right now and donate your car to help our veterans. Call 800-640-9509. 800-640-9509. 800-640-9509. Call right now. 800-640-9509.
Hi, friends. John Patch here. As host of Talkin' Pets, I get asked all the time if I know of a pet odor elimination product that actually works. It's called SCOE 10X, the best odor elimination product made. Because SCOE 10X actually eliminates bad pet odor like urine, feces, and vomit. Even skunk odor is eliminated. And it's 100% money-back guaranteed. Take it from me, John Patch. Use SCOE 10X, a pet odor elimination product that actually works. Go to SCOE10X.com today. And that's SCOE, number 10X.com.
Come give on. Me the veggies, give me the fruits. Give me the greens, give me the roots. What? Give me the seeds, give me legumes. Come on. I got what you need, I'm giving you truth. I'm a vegan. You can say this is a truth ballad. I start my day off with a fruit salad. I'm carved up, feeling healthy and full of energy. Fruit is my prevention, I don't need chemical remedies. I don't take prescription pills, I'm never feeling sick or ill. Unless we talking about the rhymes I spit and how I fit my skill. This is real, gotta maintain fitness. Being vegan ain't a diet, it's a lifestyle and we live this. Plant-based fitness, you see the way I lift this. Big heavy weight, I ain't protein deficient. Food is big business and you know the corporations lie. Why would they tell the truth about the products they supply? When they know that they are harmful and they cause disease, all you need is to do the research and start to read about the business of animal agriculture. We ain't carnivores or hunters, we are scavengers like vultures. A scavenger eats decomposing fish.
And once again, you're listening to Talkin' Pets. I'm John Patch.
And I'm Lee Tabarowski.
I'm Lexi Adams.
You like this song, huh, Lexi?
No.
So, you know, I got to ask you, John, the author, once again, we're speaking with John, and it's Sanban Matsu, the author of The Omnivore's Deception. It's a great book, and I like the concept of the book. And I like the fact that, personally speaking, I've been putting a face on animals more and in terms of, like, not wanting to eat them. Do I eat meat? Yes. I would be a hypocrite if I sat here right now and I said that I don't. But I don't eat much beef, and I don't eat much pork. I'm trying to work my way through it. And, you know, but the thing that bothers me about even being a meat eater, and not to say that every once in a while I don't have a burger, because I do, but the thing is, for me, I feel like I'm making a difference because I have cut back. And I know farmers and, you know, one people that have factory farms and all are not going to like the statement, but I still do eat it, but I'm trying to wean away from it. But I kind of just wonder in terms of, I think people just don't put that stigmatism on it when they're eating that piece of meat, that this is flesh. This is like you're eating just like a human body. I mean, it's like you're eating something that had feelings, something that gave birth to young and showed love. And that's what's been changing for me personally. And I think it changes for a lot. Now, I know it's probably ticking off a lot of people. Geez, we had a meat commercial right when you came on. But the thing is that, you know, that was a network commercial. It wasn't mine. But the thing, just want to put that out there. But the thing is that it's just, I don't know, it's just the feelings that I'm seeing, and I've gone through everything. Gretchen Weiler was a great friend of mine before she died of cancer, and I was at the Genesis Awards for many years, and we watched how these films came out by reporters and everything of these animals being slaughtered. And I do notice when people can't watch it, or I'll post something on Facebook on it, and nobody wants to watch it or comment on it. And I get it, but why can't we, if you're still going to eat meat of any kind, why can't we at least be a little bit more humane in the way that we treat them?
Can I just say, when people go to the grocery store and it's already packaged and frozen, or it's not frozen yet, but it's in the grocery store, you don't see where it came from,
right?
And you just blindly grab what you want to eat, and there's no connection to where it came from and what you're eating.
Yeah, thank you both. I just want to make clear that my book is not a critique of factory farming and industrialized animal agriculture per se. My book is mostly a critique of that myth that we can have, quote, humane or more humane ways of exploiting, mutilating, sexually reproducing, and violating and killing animals in the billions. I mean, I think that is really the main takeaway of my book, that it's simply not true that we can respect animals and treat them well while also treating them as things to be exterminated. And so, you know, there's people, the curious thing is that most people do not want to harm animals. Most people do not want to cause suffering to animals, so they rationalize what they do in terms of participating in the animal food system in a variety of ways, which I go into in my book. But one of the most strategic and sinister, really, is this very notion that you can commit extreme acts of violence against beings in a humane way. You can't do it. It's simply obvious you can't do it, you know. So I urge people to keep an open mind when they read my book, because I, of course, I'm going up against the status quo and kind of common belief. But I'm serious. When I say that this system is undermining the conditions for life on Earth, that's the scientific view.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
And global warming, by the way, is only one part of it. I mean, animal agriculture is the second biggest source of greenhouse gas emissions. But the bigger environmental crisis that no one talks about is the mass species extinction crisis, which is the greatest extinction crisis since the dinosaurs were ended in 65 million years ago. And what's driving that really is the animal food economy. You know, so we just can't go on with this, and we can't lie to ourselves. You know,
I want to ask you one question, because we got a minute left before we say goodbye, and you know we're always on the clock. So, but I do want to ask you what your opinion is, or your thoughts on artificial meat, basically the meat that's grown in labs. What do you think of that?
Sure. Yeah, I have a website that I cultivate with other scholars. It's called cleanmeat-hoax.com, cleanmeat-hoax.com, and we have about a dozen arguments for why this is not a good technology. And the truth is that to eat a healthy diet, you don't need to synthesize flesh, you know, in the lab, even if that was scalable, which it isn't. So we just have to give up this whole notion that enslaving and killing billions of our fellow sensitive creatures is a good idea. It's not a good idea, and I know this is shocking to people, but we've really got to give that up. There's a better way to live on this planet.
I agree on that. So,
yes.
John, I want to thank you for joining us here. And the book is called The Omnivore's Deception, What We Get Wrong About Meat, Animals, and Ourselves. You can find it in bookstores. You can find it online, I would imagine, like Amazon.com. And it's by John Sanban Matsu. That's the author's name. John, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. I appreciate your time and making people think a bit. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Well, once again, the number is 818-818-6401. And again, the book is The Omnivore's Deception by John Sanban Matsu. I highly recommend that you get this. Even if you eat meat, there is no problem and no reason why you can't read this book. And just, you know, get your own points out of it. So if you want to get a copy, we do have a couple copies. Call Sydney over this break, and we'll send you out a copy, compliments of John and, of course, our show, Talking Pets. So call us, 818-818-6401, 818-818-6401, and you can get a copy of the book. Just talk with Sydney. Don't know if you can come on air. The book will be sent out to you. Once again, from myself, John Patch.
And Lee Taborowski.
Lexi Adams.
We say goodbye for this hour of Talking Pets. Don't forget, spay and neuter your pets and help control the pet population. If you're looking to obtain a pet, or I should say adopt one, go to your local shelter or rescue and get one there. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Talkin' Pets are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other hosts or advertisers. The show is for entertainment purposes only and is not intended to treat, diagnose, and or claim any cure of disease or condition based on advice or recommendations from the host, veterinarian, trainer, or pet product manufacturer, but rather suggests that the audience uses information to consult with their existing pet specialist.